So, hello and welcome to today's edition of Cover to Cover with me, Paula Wiseman. So today I'm lucky enough to be joined on the phone by the author, Yvonne Cassidy. And she's going to be chatting with me about her brand new novel, I'm Right Here. So welcome to the show, Yvonne.
Thank you, Paula. Thanks for having me on.
Cool. So let's start off with, you know, by telling, do you want to tell us a little bit about the story in I'm Right Here?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So I'm Right Here is basically it's an intertwined story of two narrators, two young girls who have very different lives on the surface of things. The first one is an Irish-American girl called Cassie. She lives in New York. She lives in Brooklyn Heights. And her grandfather was from Donegal. And she believes that she inherited a gift from her grandfather that allows her to talk to dead people, basically. So she's one of our narrators. And then the other narrator is a slave girl in the 1850s on a cotton plantation. And her name is E.L. And basically, herself and Cassie start to communicate through the course of the book, and the book tells both of their stories.
Yeah, it's a great premise, isn't it? A great sort of, you know, it's not your sort of your bog standard story.
I guess not. No, but yeah, it was fun to write. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So, I mean, how long did it take from you having the initial idea for the story to having your finished book? How long did it take?
I suppose it probably took about 2 years all told. Mm-hmm. I can actually pinpoint when the first idea for the story came, because I was visiting Charleston, which is close to where EL is based. And so that was probably, 2015. She was the character that sort of came to me first, but I really was shying away from the idea of writing a slave story, because it was like, this isn't my story, this isn't really, it wasn't the kind of novel that I wanted to write next. But she kept coming back as a character, and so I sort of was writing about her almost to get her out of my system, and then the Cassie character started to come to life as well, and slowly I began to realize that there was a relationship between the two characters, and then it just really unfolded for me, much as it does for the reader, to understand exactly what that relationship was about.
Yeah, I know you're based in the US, you're based in New York now. So, I mean, was that kind of the reasoning behind setting the book? I mean, I suppose it was a natural, do you know what I mean? You'd assume that you'd set it in Brooklyn and in South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, most of my other books have been set in some way in Dublin, or what I've tended to do is write about characters who are Irish who have found themselves somewhere else.
Yeah.
And often the narrative takes place, you know, in the new place, so be it London or New York or wherever, and then partially Dublin. So this was the first book where I, A, haven't had an Irish character, and B, haven't really set much of it in Ireland. There's a couple of scenes in Ireland, sort of at the beginning of the end, and one maybe in the middle. So that kind of felt like a new departure for me, but I was comfortable having like the Irish-American experience in it.
And yeah,
kind of, even though Cassie didn't grow up in Ireland, she sort of had that influence a lot. So that kind of felt like a good way to ground it, especially when I was going into very much unknown territory, you know, on the plantation and all that stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, they say write what you know, don't they? So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense in that respect.
Yeah, I mean, that's something, like, because I teach writing too, I get that question a lot from my students, like, you know, should I just write what I know? And, you know, for me, it's almost like a foundation or a springboard, like, just sort of start with the things I know, but then there's the mix of the imagination, obviously, that comes in as well and allows you then to go to different places too.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's your process? I mean, every author seems to have their own way of formulating characters. Do you kind of work from people that you've met in the past and kind of think, oh, they'd be great for a character? Or are they totally sort of born, they're brand new born people?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I think that they're completely made up, but at the same time, I'm sure that there are influences, you know, all along the way that I'm not probably even aware of. I do know that I feel like every character that I've written, you know, the good, the bad and the ugly, have an element of me in them. I feel like they have to on some level. even if it's just to sort of understand the emotions or whatever they're going through, you know, you sort of draw on your own, or at least I do.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, yeah, living in New York, there's such sort of rich material around all the time, like on the subway or wherever. And, you know, I will sort sometimes just notice details about people, and I might like jot it in my phone,
yeah,
or a line that I hear someone saying to someone else. I'll be like, oh wow, that'll be great, you know, and I'll take that. But for the most part, you know, the biggest part about a character that comes to me really first is their voice. And before I get into any sense of plot or where the story's going, I'll just really work with that. And I feel like it's a process for me of kind of getting to know the character.
Mm.
And I'll be just sort of writing, whether it's scenes or it almost feels like kind of listening and transcribing in a way,
yeah,
like just to what I'm finding out about this character. And I'll do that for quite a while, you know, before I'll start to really think about, you know, where is the story going, or,
yeah,
or what happens next.
Yeah, I mean, it's like writing a song, I suppose, isn't it? Do you know, when you hear songwriters saying that they're like your children, and I suppose,
yeah,
your characters are a similar, it would be of a similar kind of thing.
I think so, yeah. I mean, because it is like, you know, like I said, this book took me 2 years, and that's kind of my typical length. Some of them have taken a bit longer. But, like, you're living with this person or these people in your,
yeah,
head for a long time, you know, which can, you know, be great, but it can also be sort of, you know, frustrating at times,
yeah,
if you're trying to get something done or whatever. So, but then you miss them. I mean, when it then suddenly it's finished and the book is out there and it's living beyond just the author, and you know, it's not between me and me anymore, it's,
yeah,
between me and whoever is out there and reading it. So it's an interesting process for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can kind of see why some people write series of books. They have a central,
yeah,
character, because I mean, it'd be difficult to let go of it, wouldn't it? At least then you kind of you have that connection over a long period. Do you know what I mean? It'd be difficult to let go of them.
I think so. I mean, I've definitely thought that would be appealing. I mean, I guess one of the ultimate examples of that is J.K. Rowling, and I remember seeing an interview,
yeah,
with her years ago, and she had like it was way before the last books were out, but she had like the last chapter written, and it was,
yeah,
in like some briefcase or something, you know, and she was like, this is what I know is going to happen. And you know, it is kind of appealing. There's characters who I've written over the years that I sort of think, oh, I wonder what they're up to now, you know, or what it'd be like to revisit them. And it sort of would feel a bit like coming home in a way. So I can see where, yeah, an author who writes a series, it'd be a nice place to start with people that you know.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, what would you say, what's more important to you? Is it more important to have strong characters, or would you say plot is king? If you had to choose, what would you say is more important?
If I had to choose, I'd say character. I mean,
yeah,
I think a good book should have both,
mm-hmm,
and I hope that I'm Right Here does have both. But to me, I can go with a character that I love, you know, who's not doing very much, you know. If I love a character, I'll follow them, you know, down to the shop to buy a pint of milk type of thing, you know. It's like I'll just be with them. But if I don't get into a character when I'm reading a book, if I can't identify with the characters, it doesn't matter what the plot is, I'm,
yeah,
just not going to go with it. So I think it has to be character, but at the same time, I think the books that appeal to me the most are books that have a really good combination of both.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, as a reader, you want to be able to identify as well, I suppose, with the with the characters, the people that you're reading, the people that you're reading about. You can kind of feel empathy maybe towards their plight, their story.
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, one of my jobs as an author is to create characters who readers can empathize with and identify with. And, you know, you don't have to like all the characters. I don't think that's important necessarily, no more than we like everybody that we meet. But I think that they have to be believable and compelling. And one of the ways to do that is for a reader to see part of themselves in a character.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So, I mean, you've written three books so far. This is your fourth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you finding, does it get easier from, say, when you first started out on your first book,
mm-hmm,
to where you are now? Do you find that you're, I'm assuming that you're constantly learning from book to book, it's like a learning process. I mean, do you find it gets easier? Do you find this book four was a lot easier? Obviously, I'd say it was a lot easier than book one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does get easier, no doubt about it. I think my first novel, you know, I was learning as I wrote, you know, and I had done a lot of classes and all that stuff. But still, it's like the first time you do anything, you know, it sort of was a lot of learning on the job, so to speak. And, you know, so and I look back and on my first novel, which, you know, I was very proud of at the time and still am. But I can see things that I would do differently now, you know, and different choices that I would make. So I think it does get easier. And at the same time, I know for me, one of the things that I like to do is kind of challenge myself in a different way with each book. Like this particular book has, you know, magical realism in it. It has historical. Part of it is written in the past. It's got sort of elements of like even time travel and stuff in it. And there's no way I think that this could have been my first book or even my second book. I think I had to sort of
build up to it.
So I think it does get easier. And I think at the same time, I know for me, I like to just sort of challenge myself because I don't want it to get boring either. You know, it's like you spend 2 years with something. It's got to be of interest to you as well. I mean, that's the way I feel about it. If I'm not interested in it, I can't really expect other people to be. And I've got to be passionate about it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So, I mean, was there a lot you learnt from book one? So when you went from book one to book two, I'm assuming you were kind of maybe making notes or something and saying, and then you go to book two and you're kind of like, wow, I need to do this differently.
Yeah.
Or find a different way of doing things.
I think one of the biggest things I learned, which, you know, in hindsight sounds like a really obvious thing, but it wasn't that obvious to me, was that apart from just the, you know, the sort of first flush of creativity, which I loved, you know, and the kind of sitting down and writing a scene and being inspired, that I needed to use some other more practical tools that I used in other areas of my life, like in my work life, for example. So I became really good at like tracking the scenes that I was writing. So, you know, if I wrote a scene, you know, where two or three characters went somewhere or did something, I would make a note of that and I would, you know, I would date when I wrote it and I would note how many words and stuff were in it. Because what I found was, especially, you know, when I wasn't writing full time, I'm still not writing full time, but I'm writing more of the time now than I was then, that it would be very easy to go back and sort of be like, oh, you know, I have this inspiration, let me write this scene. And it would be really similar to something that I'd already done. So I really wasn't that efficient. And, you know, certainly between book one and two, I think I became a little bit more efficient. I didn't, I don't plan everything out. That's not my process. But at the same time, I became a little bit better at knowing what my inventory was and what I'd already written and brainstorming where I was going. So that was kind of a big step change between book one and two.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, another thing that fascinates me is how people choose their genre or whether their genre chooses them.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's like, the books and the stories choose me. I've always had a challenge with the genre thing because I don't even really think of my books in terms of genre, or even books in general. I just think of stories, really. You know, and in my other life, I kind of work in marketing, so I understand the need to put things in classifications that people can find easily and all that stuff. But at the same time, I feel that there's probably people who never read books that they would love because they're quote unquote not the right genre.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
When they go onto Amazon, they're not shown them or they don't, you know, they're not right in front of them in the bookshop, you know. So, but I think, I know for me, and I've heard other writers say it too, that the story and the characters sort of chooses them rather than the other way around.
Yeah, and I'm always fascinated, you know, you get crime writers who are obviously, do you know what I mean? They're somehow drawn to it. Not necessarily through their past or through any particular route, but it's just, it's like a calling. Do you know what I mean?
For sure, yeah. And I mean, I think that, you know, I love a good crime novel and I have such respect for people who can write them because it seems like, you know, it's got to be so intricate in the way things unfold and things that are, you know, set up in the beginning come out in the end. And, you know, it feels to me like it must be like a jigsaw puzzle putting that together. And I guess that's really the way some people just you know, like to work, like to write.
Yeah, yeah. No, it just fascinates me. You know, I speak to so many authors and every single one is different. Everyone's got their own different... There's no two authors that work the same or write the same or, you know, I find it absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I know when I teach, like, I'll throw out a writing prompt to my students and there could be 10 or 12 people in the room and they'll all write completely different things. I mean, going off in totally different directions. And it's just, it's amazing. Yeah, I love that part of the process as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, would you say you're quite disciplined writing? When you're in the middle of a book, are you one of these people that kind of says, right, I'm going to sit down between 9 o'clock and 5 o'clock. I'm going to write a certain amount of words every day. That's what I'm going to do. Or are you a little bit more fly by the seat of your pants and... You know.
Yeah, I think I am quite disciplined. I work part time, so the time that I get to write is very precious to me, and there's nothing like a deadline to make you disciplined. So I do think I am pretty disciplined. I don't tend to have things like, okay, I'm going to sit down until I get this many words written today. I don't tend to do that. One of the things that I realized early on was I'm really not great at writing at home. You know, I'm not kind of a, you know, write in my pajamas kind of writer. Like, I need to get up and go out and have somewhere to go and almost sort of treat it like a work, like a job in that way, which it is to a certain extent. So even on the days that I kind of don't, quote unquote, feel like it or feel like it's not going to be a good writing day, if I go through that rhythm and the motions and go to the place where I write, you know, it will come, and it does come, and I'm happy with it. Some days are better than others, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like akin to me for, like, you know, going to the gym or training for a marathon. Not that I've run a marathon, but, you know, you've got to put the practice in, you got to put your runners on and get out there, and if you don't, nothing's going to happen. So I think I am pretty disciplined in that way. I think I've had to be.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk a bit about your life as an author anyway. So how did it all begin for you? Obviously, you didn't just pick up a pen one day and think, oh, I'm going to write a book. You know, how did it all start initially?
Well, I mean, I suppose going right the way back as a kid, I was always a big reader. You know, I used to go to the library with my parents every Saturday and come home with a whole stack of books. And I used to like writing little stories and things like that. And I remember, you know, when I was doing my Leaving Cert, or, you know, probably a little before fifth and sixth year, when there was all those essays that you'd have to do, and there was the really dull essays about, you know, in my time it was like why Ireland were in the European Union or whatever, and then there would be the creative writing essay.
Yeah.
And my English teacher used to say to me, you know, here, you should do the creative writing essay. You know, you're very good at those. So that was something that I knew I always loved and enjoyed and I did well at. And then later, I think a lot of my 20s I spent sort of talking about that I was going to write a novel and not actually doing that much writing at all. You know, doing the odd class here or there. But it was really when I was coming up to turning 30 that I felt this sense of, you know, do I want to be somebody who just talks about it, or do I actually want to give it a go? And I was working over here at the time, and I managed to coerce my boss into giving me 3 months off to try and write the book. It was sort of the peak of the Celtic Tiger, so it was, you know, people would hold jobs open for you at that time.
Probably get it now. Wouldn't get that now, definitely not.
Yeah, exactly. I was lucky. So I did, and I took the 3 months off, and, you know, I had a draft of what would eventually become my first novel, The Other Boy. You know, and I went through, I mentioned earlier, writing classes. I did tons of writing classes. I met a lot of other, you know, writers who are at a similar part of their journey to me, some of whom are now published as well, and had great sort of camaraderie there, and we would go to festivals and stuff together. So it became a really big part of my life. And I suppose it was 2010 when the first book was picked up by Hachette and published, and that was, you know, that was just great.
Yeah.
And so this is the fourth one with Hachette now, and my last book, How Many Letters Are in Goodbye, that was also picked up by another publisher in the States last year. So that came out over there, and a couple of them have been published in France as well. So it's been, you know, in some ways it's been a roller coaster journey,
yeah.
And in other ways it's like you go through periods like this where it's very intense, and then a lot of the time you're just off writing away on your own, and, you know, that's that.
Yeah, I mean, 7 years, 4 books is pretty good going, I think, in the in the grand scheme of things, isn't it? That's really good going, I think.
Well, thanks. I mean, I think it's pretty good going myself. I know sometimes, you know, publishers are always interested in what you're doing next. Wanting to get things out there as quickly as possible and keeping the momentum going and all that kind of thing. I know some writers will write faster than that and some write slower. I think that's kind of my maximum speed, it feels like. I don't see myself, you know, being too much quicker than what I've already been.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, how did you get involved with Hachette? I mean, they're big boys, aren't they, these days?
They are, I know, and they're great, and they've been really great to work with. I actually got involved with them through a friend of mine, a fellow author and friend of mine, Kira Geraghty, had her first book published by Hachette.
Kira's been on the show.
Has she? Okay, yeah. There you go. So you know Kira. So I had an agent in the UK, in London, who was sending out The Other Boy to a lot of English publishers.
Right.
And, you know, we were getting what's called in the business very good rejections, which basically means that people will give you a paragraph as to why they didn't take it, but they're still not taking it all the same. So that was, you know, that was tough enough. And meanwhile, so Kira was reading my manuscript. She had asked me if she could read it, and she read it, and she loved it. And she said to me, you know, can I send it to my editor, Kira Dorley. And so I was sort of hesitant about it at the time because I was feeling a bit bruised by all these other rejections that I'd been having. And she sort of twisted my arm, so I said, okay. And the other Kira Dorley really liked it, and we met up and had a chat about it, and it all went from there. So it seemed like, you know, there was a lot of serendipity.
Yeah,
sort of
definitely.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think publishing and like a lot of other things in life is like that. I mean, you work hard and you do the best you can, and also there's probably a bit of luck that's involved in these things too, you know?
It's about finding the right fit as well, do you know what I mean? About finding, do you know what I mean? It's no point finding a publisher that's not enthusiastic about your work.
Yes, for sure, definitely. And I think that was something that I realized, you know, from the talking to publishers in the UK versus, you know, Hachette here in Ireland, like some of the UK publishers had wanted me to change the ending of my first book because it's not the happy ending, you know. It's of all my books, it's probably the bleakest ending. And, you know, and I was there as a sort of, you know, beginning writer, kind of really struggling with that, like, should I do that, and what would that mean for the story? And then, you know, like you say, it's a good fit. I met an editor who didn't want to change the ending and liked it the way it was, and it was a good fit. And, you know, really every book that I've worked on with them, I feel like I've had great opportunity to follow my own heart and my direction in terms of what I want to write about, and just had great editorial support and promotional support and everything. So it's been a really good experience.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what you want, though, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Someone that's passionate about your book as you are. That's what you want at the end of the day. And as I say, Hachette are, you know, they're amazing. Some of the stuff that they're putting out has just been fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're so supportive of Irish writers as well, I think, which is really great. And such diversity, you know, so many different types of writers and topics as well. So
yeah, most definitely. So I know we have a few of our listeners that are budding authors, and they're always kind of saying, oh, you know, what advice would you give as an author to some of our listeners that maybe are thinking about having a go at writing a novel? What would you say that they should maybe try and do?
I mean, I think probably one of the most important things, I think, is to be just authentic to your own voice and what you want to write about. I know when I was starting off, like, I didn't even really realize it, but I was sort of imitating writers that I liked. You know, and kind of just, I guess I was kind of cutting my teeth in that way. But it was really when I sort of kind of left aside the idea of like what other people might want me to write or what other people might think of my writing, and just wrote what I wanted to, that things started to really kind of work for me.
Yeah.
So I think that would be the first thing. The other thing would be to kind of stick with one idea and see it through till the end. There's something that happens, or at least it happens for me, you know, that I'll be very excited in the beginning, and there'll be that sort of first flush of enthusiasm that'll carry me through. And then, like, you know, a lot of things in life, you start to question it, you know, God, is this the right story?
Yeah.
This is kind of feeling kind of hard. Maybe I should write about something else. I'll get another idea that'll suddenly seem like the best idea in the world. And for me, that's the time to kind of recommit to the work that I'm working on and stick with it, because until I've finished something, I'm not going to have anything, you know.
Mm.
And a lot of people and students that I work with as well, you know, they'll at that time they'll skip on to something else. So people can end up with an awful lot of half-finished things. And, you know, if you want to write beyond just writing for yourself, if you want to write and get something published or get it out there in any way, you know, the first thing you have to do is finish it. So that would be kind of something I'd really advise people to do, to kind of stick with it. And then the third thing I think that really helped me was, you know, get some support. Find some other people who are doing the same thing you're doing. And, you know, it's a great way to just sort of learn from each other, commiserate with each other, encourage each other, and have fun. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's got to be fun. And I have a lot of fun doing it. And the day I don't, I, you know, I think I'd question whether I still want to do it. And I think having a group of friends really helps you do that.
I mean, look, well, they say everyone has a book in them of some shape or form.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's obviously so many stories out there that are still yet to be, you know, yet to be told and uncovered.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think going back to what you said earlier, Paula, about like everybody being different. You know, even if it's like, if it looks like from the outside that it's the same story or a similar story, it's not going to be, because it'll be a different perspective, a different voice, a different angle, you know. So I think people sort of understanding that and saying like, oh, I do have something to say that could be different, or so people could be interested in, you know, to believe in that too is really important.
Yeah. So I know you're over for Mountains to See this weekend. How's that been going?
Oh, great. It was so good. I was really delighted on Friday. I was part of a panel with Lisa Carey and Michelle Forbes, and Mia Gallagher was the moderator, and she just did a fantastic job, having been part of, you know, these things before and also having been in the audience. Like, she just did a lovely job. She'd read all the books and, you know, had a lot of insight into the books and was really able to sort of draw out the different themes and stuff. So we had a really lovely night on Friday, and we all sort of hung out a bit afterwards. And I had met Michelle before in New York a couple of years ago when Ghost Moth just was being published by a small publisher over there.
Yeah.
So got to know her a bit better. And Lisa had been at my book launch last week, and so got to know her a bit better, and some old friends came out and everything. So it was really, really good. And, you know, my only sort of regret is I haven't gotten to really get to as many of the things as I kind of really wanted to, because it's just been so much going on, being home and that. But it's a lovely festival, and it's run really, really well. So nice to be part of it.
Yeah, no, I did an interview with Bert Wright the other week, and he's a busy man. But there's just so much. There was so much going on. I managed to come over for the Saturday.
Brilliant.
And there's so much to choose from. It's just one of the most fantastic book festivals, I think, in Ireland, definitely at the moment.
Yeah, I think they've done an amazing job of like really growing it and having such, you know, such diversity of writers here, and they had a really strong whole poetry element to it as well, and they have like the children's workshops You know, I hadn't been in the library here before at Dunleary, and, you know, just to sort of even see what they've done there.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
I had a wander in during the week. Oh, my God, it's amazing.
It's huge.
And they had, like, some children's story hour, and the kids were, like, all sitting around.
Yeah.
And, You know, I was thinking about back in the 80s, like the children's library out here in Dunleary was like a prefab building, you know, that I used to go into when my parents went into the nice building next door, you know. So it's just really great, I think, to see such interest in books and literature and to see it almost be so much part of the identity of, you know, Ireland and different towns in Ireland. It's just, it's really great to see it.
Yeah, no, I'm loving the kind of the enthusiasm of kids today for reading. It's just amazing.
Yeah,
kids are so passionate. Kids are so passionate about books. It's just, it's amazing to see.
I love that too. It's really great to see.
Yeah. So thank you so, so much for taking the time to talk to me today, Yvonne. Anyway, I know you've been up to your eyeballs with the festival and stuff this weekend. But have a safe trip home.
Thank you.
Anyway, so I'm Right Here by Yvonne Cassidy is published by the lovely guys at Hachette, and it's available in all good bookshops. So go out and get yourself a copy today.